The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and University of Phoenix.
There is a lot to discuss as the Bears wrapped up their third preseason game of the year. One more coming up Thursday night at Soldier Field as the Bears take on the Browns. And then it's on for real as the Bears get ready for the Green Bay Packers September 13th at Soldier Field. Zach Zaidman joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer as well as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. There's going to be a lot of questions, I guess, that fans have in regards to the first set of cutdowns. The Bears have a 90-man roster. They've got to get to 75 by Tuesday at 3 o'clock. The team right now working through those cutdowns, and as soon as it becomes official, if it does during the show, we will share the list with you. But, Tom, let's get first and foremost to what happened last night, and what's your takeaway after watching the video, the tape of what you saw against the Bengals?
You know, you have to watch it slowly and you have to pay attention, because on offense and defense, every time there's a play designed or a scheme designed defensively, it's an exact. It's not being in a general vicinity and hopefully the play will succeed. When you put it down to the smallest details, a play might blow up because a young guy like Charles Leno Jr. oversets at the right tackle position, invites the defender inside, and that creates pressure on Jay, and he's got to make a faster decision, and sometimes it doesn't click. So now, when you watch that tape, what are you going to learn from it is the most important. Now, Charles Leno Jr., a young guy, can realize on this protection, I don't have to set out so far, don't invite or create a weakness on my feet, and just make sure that you understand in those three pressures that you give up, now you give up no pressures. You know, there's certain instances that happened during the game that could have given the Bears a big boost. I was disappointed. There was one catch that Martellus made in the second half that he went out of bounds before the first down marker rather than getting the first down. Then on third and one, they had a penalty by Kyle Long that set him back, and then they didn't succeed and get the first down. So it's the little things that need to be coached positively to make your team better. I don't think you can take a whip into this meeting and start whipping guys, because that's not the way you're going to get them better. And for the young players, you have to teach them so they don't repeat the same mistakes. And then in the regular season, I know Martellus will put his head down and get the ball past the first down marker. But right now, you're not good enough to take extra opportunities because you do have setbacks. So I think it is about the way you watch tape and make sure you watch it constructively. You got to be serious and you got to be willing to take some pressure in front of your peers and making sure that you can get better at what your job is. But I think the problems are solvable. I think you can be better. But again, don't look at you have the luxury of a fourth preseason game to become relaxed, because there's a lot of decisions that have to be made even after they go through their mandatory cutdowns this evening.
Tom called the game on the radio side of it. Jim Miller called the game on the television side of it. What stood out to you last night in Cincinnati, Jim?
Well, like Tom said, I think there are plenty of things that are correctable. Obviously, the penalties, thinking situation, those type of things, those can be coached, you know, to the players. But I also think this, you know, realistically, if you were to look at other teams, say teams that have built their rosters the way they want them, normally right now when it comes to cut down time, they're dealing with probably a handful of decisions that they have to make to fulfill their roster with the best team moving forward. So really five major decisions. I think you double that for the Chicago Bears. And that's just the reality of the situation. John Fox is not going to overreact to tonight, or last night, I should say, or Vic Fangio, or the offensive coordinator, Adam Gase. Everybody understands, and they've been perfectly clear in their message of where the Chicago Bears are. There are new schemes going in on offense, new schemes going in on defense, and they are there to find the pieces to the puzzle that fit their schemes and what they want to do offensively and defensively. And that goes for Jeff Rogers as well. And so you can more than double that for the Bears. There are plenty of jobs open. There are going to be new faces moving through Halas Hall during the season of 2015 so that John Fox can get the roster the way he wants it with guys that play his brand of football. And, you know, even like last night, the cornerback situation, everybody's like, oh, you know, you got three touchdowns. He's rotating. And Vic Fangio, if you watched last night, the Chicago Bears ran a ton of man coverage for one specific reason. Vic Fangio wanted to put players, whether it's Tim Jennings, whether it's Kyle Fuller, who got beat by T.Y. Hilton, if you remember, in the Colts game for a big gain. He was putting all those players in those situations to evaluate them. You know, I just think there's plenty of decisions that are going to be made. There was, again, nothing game planned. It was just situational where coaches are trying to evaluate. I want to see player in X, Y, or Z position during this game. I want to see them accomplish this, and we need to see them to do these things to make our roster. So I think you saw that happening in the secondary. We know it's happening at the receiver position. I think we understand there's an issue at the right tackle spot. They're still sorting out their linebacker situation. Also during the game with Jeremiah Ratliff going down and Goldman going down, I think it was happening on the defensive line. So again, I think everybody's overreacting with how the Bears performed, other than John Fox and the coaches in that building. They know right exactly where they are and where they need to go.
You know, Jim, one of the interesting things about this fourth game coming up is usually, even if you're a veteran, you're trying to get out of the game as quickly as possible. If you didn't have a good showing in the last tape that the coaches have an opportunity to view, you better hope that you get extra reps. You hope that you can go in there and prove yourself worthy of earning a position. Or if you're a backup, you better come and play to shine. And that's the way you're going to get noticed. That's the way you're going to get an opportunity on this football team. Because when you look at the record last year, it's not good enough. It's not good enough for the Bears fans. It's not good enough for the Bears organization. So, again, you got to develop and get better everywhere. And I think it's unique for the Bears because we got a fourth preseason game to get some heavy-duty real live evaluation done.
I hear what you guys keep saying about how the preseason is not a true indicator right of what's to come during the regular season. And more often than not, you're exactly right. And Jim illustrated some of the reasons why that's the case. Well, however, when fans look at the third preseason game last year, Jim, they saw a blowout loss in Seattle.
Right.
And it turned out to foreshadow some of the things that would occur during the regular season. Why is this game against Cincinnati different from, say, what we saw a year ago?
Well, I think it's different because you've got a coach that's building something. And for Mark Trestman in his second year, there was a lot of momentum offensively in which they underachieved. You know, that's the thing right now. John Fox is not going to overpromise anything. I mean, he can't. He can't for this football team. I'm just trying to put it in realistic terms. I mean, we're going to sit here and talk about defensive backs and what's going to happen at that position. John Fox just came from Denver with Aqib Talib and Chris Harris, who was a Pro Bowler. I mean, do we honestly think any corner on the Chicago Bears can match up to that secondary out in Denver? That's what that guy's coming from. That's what he wants to build in Chicago. That's his blueprint. That's where he's going. And it's just starting right now. It just began when he was announced as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Now, these players may achieve that goal. Kyle Fuller may rise to that occasion to be that talented of a cornerback. But right now, I think we know realistically he is not. He's a second-year corner that needs to continue to grow, and that's John Fox's job to get that done. And I think he understands that, and he's not going to overpromise that. He knows the process of what it takes to build a football team, and he's in the early stages of doing so.
You know, one thing about the development of the team as you go into the regular season, when you do start scheming defensively, they can put in a package that they can have, okay, I think the quarterback's only going to have this much time to challenge this specific player. And that's what the hopes of the Bears Nation is that when they do line up against the Green Bay Packers, they're going to be deceptive and sophisticated enough that they know how their scheme fits the talent behind them. And I do believe that's one of the growth processes that you're going to go through here defensively is making sure that you can put Pernell McPhee or whomever is out there, put him in the right winning position to help your defensive backs and corners.
Guys, we have to take our first commercial break of the show as Bears All Access rolls on here with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. When we come back, I think the biggest question that a lot of people had heading into training camp was, how would Jay Cutler fit into this scheme? Well, we saw him throughout the Bourbonnais portion of camp. We've seen him now through three preseason games. We're going to ask former Bears quarterback Jim Miller what he thinks about the way Jay Cutler has progressed within the framework of this system next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, brought to you by Jimmy John's. And this Sunday night at 10:35, which means tonight on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. All right.
Why do you always laugh when you read that promotion?
Because if you don't laugh thinking of Spice Adams, then you don't know funny.
Double A is as funny as you get. I mean, if you just see him on the street or he's, you know, on the TV show, but you laugh every time. You read that.
He makes me smile. Yeah. He's an entertainer. Yes. And he made me smile when he was playing, too, because you'd look at him and you'd think there's no way someone that looks like that can do what he does. But he did it.
If Double A was on the Bears right now as a pure, true nose guard, he would be in there competing as one of the top guys, because that's the way he lives. He lives to feel the double team. And, you know, that's the traits that those guys have.
Tom Thayer's here, so's Jim Miller. I was joking with Double A about, there's a player on the Bears right now named Terry Williams, who is known as the Swamp Monster at East Carolina.
73 on defense.
Yeah, a defensive tackle who looks like Anthony Adams looks now. That was the joke I made with him.
He reminds me more of Fridge, the 73 now, because he's got that same body style. And I wish that Tony Medlin, the head equipment manager, would have given him 72 for camp, because it would have been neat to have, like, a, you know, Fridge part two or something out there.
Olson Pierre has that number, I believe,
yes,
on defense, number
correct.
72, and then 72 on Charles offense Leno is Jr. Charles Leno Jr. All right, let's talk a little bit about the offense here, because I think the big topic coming into all of this was how Jay Cutler would mesh within the framework of Adam Gase's offense. Jim, you know quarterbacks better than anything else on the football field. Give us your take in terms of how Cutler has progressed in this offense.
Yeah, I think he's responding well. You know, I think everything you hear from Adam Gase and what he's reported on, I think Jay is what we've always known. He's extremely smart. He picks up the offense well. Every quarter, nobody has ever had a problem with Jay Cutler's work ethic. He does work hard, and he loves football, and it matters to him. And I think you've got a coach in Adam Gase, you know, coming from, again, I'll relate it to Denver. It's the 5-time NFL MVP. That guy is meticulous in what he does to prepare for a game, to be the best, and to be a winner. And I think some of that is rubbed off on Jay Cutler. And I know Adam is brought up about the note-taking. That was public knowledge, and I think that's part of it. I think Jay has been very studious. I do think the age gap helps between Adam Gase and Jay, and let's be honest. I mean, Adam Gase he's a spark plug, man. That guy wants things done his way. He will not accept anything less than how he wants it. And I think, actually, even in last night's game against Cincinnati, it was good for Jay to go into a game with young receivers because, again, you have to lead as a quarterback in those situations. Tom knows if you're with a young offensive lineman next year, you're going to bring those guys along during the game. Hey, be ready for this. Expect this, whether it's in the huddle or at the line of scrimmage. And I think Jay was thrust into that a little bit last night. Even the week leading up to the game, you're down your four wide receivers. I remember Ahmad Merritt, he had to play a big part in a game when we played up in Detroit. And I remember just in the huddle, hey, Ahmad, be ready for this. Got to be ready for this. You know, you're coaching them up as a game. Because why? You as a quarterback need that to happen for the whole offense to succeed. And you're not going to succeed if one person is not doing their job. And I think that is forcing Jay to lead in those situations. He can do it. And I think he's responded well. He's further along in the offense than anybody because he's learned and played a lot of football and knows offenses better than a lot of players on the team just due to his experience. And now he needs to spread that knowledge. He knows it. Now he's got to do it for the other 10 guys that are lined up in the huddle. Why? Because that's how you're going to have success offensively. And that's, you know, that's really the challenge, and we'll see where it goes from here. But so far, so good.
You know, Jim, I like what you said. He's responding well because he really is. Last week, I was at a practice, and I thought from start to finish, it was the best practice I've ever seen Jay have. And it was again, it's practice. It's a different tempo than the games. You have more of an opportunity to go through your drills and stuff, but now when you use that term responding well, that's what you need to see out of Jay, and that's what his teammates need to see out of him on a practice field. His clear, correct decisions that keep the momentum of the offense going forward. And yeah, it didn't work out the way we needed to see it. But again, I like the term you use in responding well, because I do see that out of Jay at practice. Now it's going to take the entire response of the supporting cast.
When you say you saw it on the practice field, what do you mean?
It's the timing of the offense, whether it's a play-action pass and he's making a good fake to one of the running backs, turning around and throwing the ball immediately to the response of the way the defense reacts to the fake of the play action. He's putting people in space where they're a good target, whether it's Martellus Bennett or the receivers he was working with throughout the week. And it's the tempo that Jay's in. You know, he can call the play in the huddle, and he can take his eyes away from the target, still make a good play fake that attracts the defense, and then come right back and know where his target's going to be. And Jay was really efficient from the entire, when you go through 7-on-7 drills and you go through 9-on-7, then you go through a couple passing periods, depending upon the scenarios they're feeding you at practice. And I came away and I was impressed with Jay in that practice, because I think he was going through a week of practice that he knew there was going to be a lot of pressure on him once the game got here.
We're going to be taking your phone calls in a little bit at 312-644-6767 here on Bears All Access. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with us. Jim, I get this question a lot on Twitter. I'm sure you do as well, and on all the different shows that we do. Are you concerned about the Bears' first-team offense not putting that ball in the end zone so far?
No, I'm not. You know, in the slightest, I'm really not. And I don't think like a team like the Seattle Seahawks are worried about it either. I think, again, the preseason is to work on certain things, especially when you're putting in a new offense or defense. You need to see guys in certain situations. Let's say going into a game. I think we all knew going into last week, you could see by the end of the game that the game plan was, we need to get Jeremy Langford lathered up in that second preseason game. You could see by the amount of carries, he was fed the ball 9 times. It was done for a reason, to see how that and evaluate that player and see how he reacts. And that's true for a lot of guys, whether it's wide receivers or other players that had some opportunities in this last preseason game. And it's not as game planned as what people think. You may have a script going in, but again, you're pretty much, at least from an offensive, I just know this from an offensive standpoint. I've gone into the third preseason game, and it was the same thing. We need to see this out of this player, so we're going to run these type of routes. These are the protections we're going to call, and it's still pretty basic. Because, again, you don't want to put too much on tape. You don't want your opponents knowing exactly what you're doing and where you're going. But I think we get a overall picture that this offense is going to run the football. They have been consistent in doing that all preseason. And Adam Gase has stated that since he arrived here. And it will revolve around Manforte, and then the offense will expand from that.
I thought it was interesting that early on in the Bourbon A portion of camp, Adam Gase, who went to Michigan State, said that Jeremy Langford is intelligent, not surprising because he went to Michigan State, yet he said nothing about Jim Miller.
Well, they're from different eras.
Yeah, that's right. That was old school. I've been forthright. I majored in eligibility, so I minored in golf. So I've been open and honest about that.
I think there. Michigan State is a strict program. I think their head coach is a quality head coach, and the players that have come out of there, I think they have the ability to contribute sooner than later. And I have the same belief in Jeremy Langford.
Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll take some of your phone calls at 312-644-6767. And think about this as we head into the break, and I'll get your thoughts on this when we come back. Where have the Bears gotten better since training camp started? Tom Thayer's here, so's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ready, set, shuffle. Registration now open for the Super Bears Shuffle 5K powered by Power Plate on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more at www.chicagobears.com/5K. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller is here as well on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I don't know if you saw this because, you know, the Texans are the big national story because they're on Hard Knocks this year. So one of their quarterbacks, Ryan Mallett, the former Patriot, apparently overslept and missed practice the other day.
Inexcusable.
Jim, as a former QB, did you ever oversleep?
It was once, but it wasn't, it was like my rookie year.
Inexcusable.
Yeah, but, yeah, Neil O'Donnell, Mike Tomczak were the two ahead of me. But, no, that is, it never happened again. So, yeah, that's something, well, especially when
you... Jim, how were you when you woke up and you knew it?
Oh, I was devastated. I was devastated. There's no doubt about that. And then I went in and I talked to Coach Cower about, he's like, hey, you know, of course he's being the parent guy putting the screws to you and make sure it doesn't happen again type of deal. So he handled it the right way. But, yeah, it scared the crap out of me. But that was the first time and only time I was late to a meeting.
Time to decide on the player of the week, brought to you by Sports Authority. Guys, I need your help to decide based on what happened last night between the Bears and Bengals. Ife Umotu is the easy guy that you can go to. He scored the touchdown on special teams, blocking it and then picking it up and scoring, and then had a Jim Miller-like pose with the yoga in the end zone. And I think he's still celebrating because he came back to the sidelines. He was so fired up, guys were laughing at him.
You know, enthusiasm is contagious. So, no matter what the scenario is, that's probably the biggest play in his football life he's ever made.
There's some other candidates. Will Sutton, I thought, continues to flash and becomes even more important now with the injury and suspension early on with Jeremiah Ratliff. Eddie Goldman goes with a concussion yesterday. He now goes into the protocol, and Will Sutton continues to
step up. Will's doing it in practice, though, too. You know, he's not a guy that's only showing up when he gets game reps. He's doing it in practice regularly.
And he's transcending scheme. Was initially a 3-technique and a 4-3 defense, and now doing it in a 3-4. Lamar Houston had 2 sacks last night.
Yep.
And Martellus Bennett, offensively, 7 catches for 45 yards. Jim, who do you think was the player of the game?
Well, I thought a lot of guys showed. You know, there were some young guys that I thought are doing some nice things. I mentioned DeMontre Hurst on air. I thought he did some good things. Terrence Mitchell. Obviously, I think we know Bennett and those guys are going to be playmakers. And Will Sutton, I do think, is a part of the plan for the Chicago Bears. And again, I go back to this. When coaches want to see players do certain things, because you mentioned the couple of sacks by Willie Young. If this was a real game, wouldn't the Bengals of game plan say, hey, you know, we're going to give Jake Fisher a little bit of help with some chip blocking? Of course, they didn't. They're not going to max protect. They want to see players out there thrown into the worst-case scenarios to see how players react. And I think we could say the same thing about the right tackle situation for the Chicago Bears. But I think plenty of players, I think Sonoris Perry, continues to help his cause with how he's performed during the preseason. So there were a lot of bright spots, and it's not as bleak of a picture as what everybody thinks.
Hey, they scored a special teams touchdown, so I'm going to give it to Ife Umotu because you blocked it, then you picked it up, and you scored. That's the dream when you're trying to make a roster.
Right, it is, and it's an exciting play for him. So that you don't ever want a player to say, hey, curtail your enthusiasm, just do it safely, as what we've learned from last year. But, you know, you get an opportunity like that to get a punt and get in the end zone, it's big. So but I would go to – I was a fan of Will Sutton last night because you had 2 defensive linemen go down, and all of a sudden that amps up the reps that you're going to have to go through. It's a hot, humid field, and Will Sutton made a couple of big, big-time plays, and so that's what you need.
Case in point, he's thrown into a situation that wasn't expected. How do you react? That's how coaches want to see you react. I mean, he wasn't expected to play that much. With 2 players going down, hey, you're up, big boy. And that guy went out there and he delivered everything that needed to be delivered. That's what the coaches are looking for.
All right, so Jim was the tiebreaker. We'll give it to Will Sutton, the Sports Authority Player of the Week, for his performance against the Bengals. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Taking your phone calls in just a sec. But, you know, I asked this before the break. Where have the Bears gotten better since camp started? We'll start with you, Tom.
My list, special teams number 1. They have gotten so much better that they are creating quality field position for the offense on first down. Number 2 is there is an aggressiveness to the offensive line that they haven't had here in a few years. And it's going to get better the more time you spend together. The offensive line will gel. Number 3, the tight ends are better blockers. Pernell McPhee made that happen. He came in here, was tossing around the tight ends early in camp. Martellus got a lot better, and the other tight ends worked better, too. The safety position is better than it was at the conclusion of last season. Didn't like it. The quarterback is better now than at the end of the season. in the full complement of running backs will help this football team, because I think the Bears were too reliant on Matt Forte last year. And now when you have Matt being pushed by some young guys, that's not only good for a veteran, but the young guys are showing how to be led by a guy like Matt Forte.
Let's get Jim's list. I'm sure it's long.
Yeah.
I know Jim.
Overall physicality, which ties into what Tom said about the offensive line and tight ends, and I think defensively, for the first two games, other than, say, the first series where everybody thinks the opponents marched on them, overall the Bears, their physicality is better, in my opinion. Kicking game, coverage units that Tom touched on, the special team units, commitment to the run game. Adam Gase has said that this is the deepest running back field core that he's ever been with in the National Football League. So I think keep your eye on that, and I think keep your eye on what Tom said with the tight ends. Martellus Bennett is another player he's raved about. He thinks he's probably one of the he has not reached his ceiling in what he can do as a player. So he's going to be a piece to the puzzle, an integral piece to the puzzle, I think, moving forward. But all the things, but to be physical, all those things, but I think, again, it's going to take time. It's going to take time. It's not going to be some magic wand that John Fox and this coaching staff waves. It is going to be select players that are brought in and fit the pieces to the puzzle for exactly what they want on offense and defense.
Hey, John Fox didn't lie at the start of training camp.
No.
He said that the goal was to get better every single day and trust the process, because he understands there's a long way to go from where this team was last year to where Fox ultimately wants to go, which is where he's been in Carolina and Denver, which is the Super Bowl. They're not there yet, but you got to build to get
right
there.
You know, I was talking to Jay Hilgenberg last night, and he made a good point. In the way that John Fox conducts practices and the physical attachment he has to him, there are some guys that have to relearn their commitment to practice, because you may have fell into a soft, cushy practice tempo in the last few years. It's not the case anymore. You better come every day with some air in your helmet and your shoes tied tight, because that's the way you're going to practice every day. And it does. You know, it's part of the weeding out process. If you're not used to those practices anymore, it's going to be tough for the coaches to make a decision on
you. And this goes back to John Fox's family background. You know, his dad was a Navy SEAL, where they test you mentally. Ooh. Before you need to find out what a guy is made of between the ears before you can even begin to test what he's like as a football player. And I think that's why it's been such a physical camp and physical practices ever since they returned from Bourbonnais. The Bears are placing a premium on changing the mindset of this team heading into games. But like you said, while the offensive line is physical and the defensive line has been a little bit more physical, they still want to cut down the negative plays. Way too many negative plays so far.
No doubt about it. But I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you take a negative play, a sack or pressure by Charles Leno Jr. It's not like he doesn't have the ability to get the job done. He's got to be smarter about his initial footwork. And that's the way you win the job immediately. You give Charles Leno Jr. a lot more confidence that he can go out and do the job every time. Don't expose yourself to getting beat just by inadequate, minor fundamentals that Coach Mags will coach him through this week.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. Norridge, John, you're on with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, and Zach Zaidman.
Hey, Big John.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Good. I'm worried about the Bears' right tackle position. I mean, do you think it's possible that Kyle Long plays there anytime during the season?
You know, John, that is the $64,000 question that I think everybody asks, and there's even conversation up in the press box about it. I want Kyle to play in the strongest position that he is going to future and he's going to grow into it. And if right now it's the offensive guard, the quickest path to the quarterback, he can solidify a lot of things on the inside. I would take my coaching to the players that are there. I would try to just tighten the screws a little bit, give them some hints how not to beat themselves when they come out of their stance. And then I have to see how they work those into practice, and then they work them into the same protections a week later. And that's the way you're going to make the decision. If players adjust to coaching remarks you make during the week and then implement them in the game, then you see improvement. And so I don't think it's a failure. I think he still has a lot more work ahead of these young guys, and you just have to, again, tweak their techniques out of their stance.
Did we learn anything about the reserve receivers that had an opportunity to get extended playing time last night for the Bears? We'll find out. Jim Miller's here. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Your phone calls as well at 312-644-6767. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune in to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of the Bears-Browns game this Thursday at 7 p.m. on Fox 32 in Chicago and stations throughout the Midwest. Bears preseason football is brought to you by North Shore University Health System. Tom Thayer is here. Jim Miller is also here as well, and he will be in the booth at Soldier Field calling the game on TV. Zach Zaidman is with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So you had a chance to see a bunch of receivers yesterday that probably would not get the kind of extended time normally in a third preseason game that they got yesterday. Joshua Bellamy, Rashard Lawrence, guys like that. What stood out to you? Did any of, because it's an opportunity. When you have an opportunity to get as many reps as these guys got, you may be able to convince a coach who might not have thought of you in a certain way, hey, this guy's got something. Who stood out?
Well, obviously, Mark Mariani. I mean, think about it. He hasn't had a catch. I think it was 2010 was his last catch. He's going to do what needs to be done, and he's going to step in. Had a big catch last night for Jay Cutler. So Mariani proved who he is. He's a guy. He's the steady Eddie, and you can count on him to do his job. I think Joshua Bellamy has the speed, and we know he offers the special teams side of it. So Joshua Bellamy, if I were just have to evaluate right now, that would be my order. Your top four, then Mark Mariani would be the five, and then you've got Josh Bellamy as the six. Now, out of the rest of them, who would stick as, say, a seventh or a practice squad player? You know, Fox and them just brought in that Jeremy Kelly. That's a big body. That's a big-bodied wide receiver who they'd like to develop. Would be my opinion, because you have to have a type of trait that you're going to develop, whether it's speed, whether it's route running, whether it's knowledge within the offense. And I think the other guys have done nice work, but they're somewhat of projects. When you look at Meredith, he switched from quarterback to receiver. He did some good things in the Colts game. He's another big body that could intrigue them, but you know, is it enough? Is it at NFL caliber? If you were to activate and have your roster today and say we're going to line up and play, they're just not there yet. They need, they're too green of players, would be my opinion. And so, again, I mentioned it on there, and it could happen depending on the health of the key players, at least the top four. There could be some new faces with more experience coming in at the wide receiver position.
You know, Jim, one of the things that interests me about the wide receiver position is in the NFL, I think 74% of the point of attack is from the inside shoulder of each offensive tackle. But the rest of the plays are to the outside perimeter, and then there's other zone read aspects to them. If these receivers don't block on the edge, they will not even be considered as a possible wide receiver candidate. And that's one of the things of the preach points I like to hear from Mike Groh, the wide receiver coach, is he's always saying, you got to block, you got to block. Whether it's a wide receiver screen or a Matt Forte, Jeremy Langford run to the outside, that's what these guys have to develop the ability. And Cameron Meredith, he is, I don't know if he's ever blocked on the outskirts right of a run play that has long-term techniques to it that you have to keep yourself legal. And so as much as pass catching is what you want to see out of these guys, they also have to be major contributors in the blocking game because they are going to run the ball more often.
Well, that's a good point. Think of Levi Norwood from Baylor. He's a free agent from Baylor. They don't run the rock all that much either. And you're right, with the wide receiver screens, we know the offense is going to revolve around Matt Forte. It's another critical aspect that I'm sure the coaches are going to evaluate. They're very green. They're very young. They had their opportunity, and we'll see where it goes. They could end up being practice squad eligible if the Bears think that highly of them.
I find it interesting that there's been a lot of talk about the secondary guys, and you know, we talked about Kyle Fuller, and there's this notion that he is dropped off from what he was a year ago. You guys watch the tape. You see every practice. Is that fact or fiction?
I don't agree with it. I think Kyle proved a lot to me last year when he showed up every week, when he was nicked up and dinged up a little bit during the course of the year and still lined up against some of the best receivers in the NFL. I think the defensive back attachment to this defense is more scheme related. when you go out there and you evaluate your opponent and you say, okay, we have a real weakness at left tackle. Their tight end can't block anybody. The inside has a new player in there that gets confused repeatedly. Now, how do your cornerbacks fit in to the game plan that Vic Fangio puts together to take advantage of your opponent's weaknesses? That's when you have to see it. When you're not trying to take advantage of everybody in a preseason game, then you really can't set up your cornerbacks that well. I think when they start determining the weaknesses of their opponents, you'll see a guy like Kyle Fuller flourish in a system like this.
I think he's always been physical and he's always around the ball. He's an aggressive corner. Who obviously likes to play aggressive and let the opponent know about it. I think he gets upset when he loses on a play, but he's still young. He's still young, and he's got to learn to read and react in a new system and what Vic Fangio is asking to do. So I don't think he's dropped off. I just think he's a young player who has good physical skills that is learning a new scheme and is trying to sort it out right now. There's plenty to work with there with Kyle Fuller.
When you look at the safety position, guys, some of the things that you hear, they're taking the wrong angles, they're not fast enough in the secondary. I see a guy in Antro Roll who knows where he has to be, and I see a guy in Adrian Amos who has the physical traits and is learning from being in the same room with Roll. What do you guys see?
I agree. But, he has to learn more things about the front of an offense as he approaches the line of scrimmage and climbs into the box, because you have to learn the different techniques and traits that tight ends use, offensive guards use, H-backs use, running backs use when they're blocking him. But I do see him. He has good instinct how to put himself in the right position to defeat a play if a running back is cutting it back towards his area. And I like his willingness to go in there and tackle. So, again, a lot like Kyle Fuller, Adrian Amos has not even begun to learn NFL football yet. He's just learning how to get through practices and how to learn the system, the terminology, and his responsibilities. And I think they both... I think he has a tremendous upside.
Guys, there's some breaking news here. The Bears have made some roster moves, so I'm going to read them to you as I've just learned them here. Ryan Mundy has been placed on injured reserve. He's been dealing with a hip injury and was not able to play this past week against the Bengals. John Childs, the wide receiver who went down with a concussion yesterday, has been waived injured. The following players have been waived. They are Malcolm Bronson, the defensive back, Kevin Green, tight end, an offensive tackle named Cameron Jefferson, Jeremy Kelly, the wide receiver that...
Right, the big guy.
Yeah, the big guy that...
Number two.
Right. Rick Lovato, the long snapper, Al Lewis Jean, the cornerback out of Boston College, Levi Norwood, the wide receiver out of Baylor, Olson Pierre, the defensive end out of Miami that we talked about wearing number 72, Chris Pantelli, the tight end that they brought over from the Jets. It's official. Tim Jennings' contract has been terminated, so he's no longer a Bear. And running back Daniel Thomas has had his contract terminated as well. So the big story is that Tim Jennings has been let go, a man who is now entering his 10th year in the National Football League. And it's a major change now for the Bears in the secondary, Tom.
Yeah, but I think, he's such a major drop-off last year that Tim Jennings, they needed to reinvent Tim Jennings. They need to find where he was going to best fit. I don't think he was ever comfortable as a slot receiver, a slot cornerback. I think he wanted to have a sideline to one of his shoulders and work to that area. But, there's going to be a lot of decisions like that that will be made. If this guy, if he's a veteran or a young guy and he doesn't fit into their future plans, give him an opportunity to be researched by someone else. And I guarantee you, Tim Jennings will go to another team before the end of training camp possibly. But again, I just think it's the decision the Bears moving forward where they want what they want their talent to look like.
Well, you would think Tim Jennings won because Dallas just lost Orlando Scandrick. He could be either a Dallas Cowboy or I would expect he'll be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer pretty quickly is what I would think, because that's what he was drafted to
Correct.
Be. He was drafted to be a zone corner in a Tampa too. He does have good skills, but you could see it in the Indianapolis game. Did you watch Andre Johnson, who's, 13 years in the league? He was pulling away from Tim Jennings on an in-cut. On an in-cut, he was pulling away from him. And Tim Jennings got beat on an in-cut against Cincinnati last night. So you could see the message being sent when Alan Ball was given the start in the third preseason game against Cincinnati.
Alan Ball is a guy that is coming off a torn biceps injury, veteran player in this league, a bigger corner than Tim Jennings was with the Bears. When you talk about playing man in this defense as a cornerback, the biggest difference, and we talked about this on the pregame show with Tim Jennings yesterday, it's what you're looking at. You know, when you play zone the way Jennings played zone in the cover two defense that the Bears played, you're watching the quarterback, and that's the most important thing that you have to see. When you're playing man-to-man, your back is turned to the quarterback. Is that the easiest way to describe it?
I want to ask Jim this, because Jim, isn't it like a faux pas for a defensive back to look into the backfield at a quarterback, whether you're playing zone or man?
Well, it's zone, you have the ability to do it, knowing, you know, you can angle yourself, say, with your fanny towards the sideline and look in towards the quarterback. Like, I know guys who I play with, like Rod Woodson, he'd love to do it because he could gamble on it by looking at the quarterback's drop. If he knew it was three step, he's like, hey, I'm getting ready to jump this hitch route, or a five-step. Maybe it's an out route. He knew it was the intermediate timing. When you're dealing with straight man coverage and the corner is heading up the wide receiver and he's looking straight at the wide receiver's chest at the line of scrimmage, it becomes a two-way go. You know, at least in a zone, like in, say, a cover two, you become first force. So if a guy tries to outside release, you just throw him into the bench is really what you do. So you're only worried about a one-way go, which is an inside release. You can eliminate certain things in a zone coverage. Man-to-man, you cannot. You are exposed, and that's why it's called man-to-man, because you can look pretty silly in a heartbeat.
We'll take your phone calls coming up and get your reaction to everything that's transpired with the Bears today. If you're just tuning in, the Bears have terminated the contract of Tim Jennings. Veteran safety Ryan Mundy has been placed on injured reserve, and that's a loss in terms of the fact that Mundy's coming off probably his best season as a professional football player, but it was clear in the early going of camp the Bears wanted someone back there with Antrell Roll who was more of an athletic guy that had more range, and that's why Adrian Amos has had that opportunity.
Right. I mean, the decision, you know, was made because they had Brock Vereen in there initially. They saw to him in the first game what they needed to see, and then they put Adrian Amos in there. And I think they like what they see his future could be. And now he has to have the same attachment to everything that's required of him in the regular season. And it's a heck of a challenge, but the coaches like, and they're not afraid to work with young guys if they show that willingness and those work habits.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. More on Bears All Access. The breaking news, Tim Jennings has been let go by the Bears. Ryan Mundy has been placed on injured reserve. There's some other moves, too, we'll discuss next. Tom Thayer is here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears making some moves today. They've terminated the contract of veteran cornerback Tim Jennings. They've also placed veteran safety Ryan Mundy on injured reserve with a hip injury. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Out to the phones we go. Dan in Denver, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. Fernell McPhee, any injury update at all?
You know, I think he just was minor, and he ended up coming back in the game
last night
after he got some attention. You know, and he's been a big free agent find. He's done a lot to upgrade the enthusiasm, the aggressiveness of the defense. And like I mentioned earlier, he's made the tight end position better because he practices so hard every day.
And one question, I don't mean to put you guys on the spot, but I live in Denver, originally from Northbrook, Illinois. I'm older, almost 50. I've been a Bears fan since my dad made me watch the Bears back in the Avellini days, Mike Phipps. I'm a true homer. Give me a little glimmer of hope, because every year I'm saying the Bears are going 16-0, and I don't really believe it. That's what I hope for, and I know it's not true. Is there any glimmer of hope? You guys throw me a bone just to make my week go a little bit better.
The hope I'm going to give you is if they're dedicated to the running game and you go back and they have all this analytics and you look at the Jay Cutler's success when they run the ball a certain amount of times, his win-loss record is overwhelmingly in favor of good things happening. And that a commitment to the run is a full-blown commitment from the coach, the offensive line, and everybody else that's associated to making unsexy blocks and not, you know, 99-yard catches.
I just think this. I don't think it's all doom and gloom. This team is better than what people think. The coaches, I believe, are exceptional. They're well-credentialed. And I do believe, at least from a coaching standpoint, they alone, by their coaching, could help this team get an extra win. I'm not saying it's a double-digit win season. I think let's be realistic here. But I think it will be a vast improvement from last year and will continue to get better as the season goes on.
The Browns-Bears game this Thursday is brought to you by Bears Hall of Fame partner United Airlines. The first 25,000 fans entering Soldier Field will receive a Bears schedule magnet courtesy of United Airlines. United proudly flying the Bears for over 40 years. Back out to the phones we go. Rand Toole, Ralph, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Ralph. Hey.
Hello, good evening. Hey, look, I heard what Jim was saying about Jay, and I don't doubt it because Jim's a former quarterback, and you know he knows what he's talking about. From a fan's perspective, I look out there, and like many other fans, all over Beardom, right? They see Jay's detached behavior. They see his smirks. They see him wandering around the sidelines, aloof and alone when things aren't going well. I look at that and I think, golly, what a terrible leader. I know that it's unfair to say, hey, look, he's supposed to be the leader of the team. There's a lot of people on that team, okay? And the coach and a lot of the people in charge have a lot to say about who's calling the shots. But I look at it and I think, that's really pathetic behavior. If Jay is such a great learner, why can't he learn a little bit about being a more effective leader and put that into practice?
No, it's a great question. I do think this. I do think the quarterback position by default is a leadership position for all the reasons that you just mentioned. And I do say it's not in some people to go up and be the locker room guy and have these speeches or get in front of the team and have the rah-rah type of things and get guys motivated. But I will say this, and I've said this consistently. The minute you strap on your cleats and you walk between those white lines as a quarterback, you have to lead that unit on the field. Communicate. Help your teammates. Throw things out there for them to anticipate in a game. It's part of the job requirement. And I think that is what Adam Gase is stressing to Jay Cutler. You have to do it in a no huddle. Hey, you know, you're calling out the signals, you're calling out the protection, you're calling out the routes for the receivers, you're lining the back up, telling him who to block, and you have to be forceful, and you have to have command, and you have to say it with authority. Because when you do all those things, those guys in front of you say, this guy's on it. This guy knows what the hell he's doing. He's getting us in the right play, and you know, we'll make the most of this play in that particular situation. But when you miss your checks, you don't make the right reads, you miss a blitz, you take a sack, and it's not your other teammate's fault. They see through all that, and they're not going to follow somebody who doesn't do those things. Jay is extremely talented, and I think, again, when you've got so many offensive coordinators that have rolled through Chicago, he's learned a lot of football. He's probably grown up quite a bit. I remember I asked him this question. I said when he arrived in Chicago, I said, do you realize the passion, the environment you're coming into in Chicago? And I think he thought he did, but then when he realized how passionate it was, it somewhat took him aback. It's not easy being a quarterback in Chicago. It's not easy being a quarterback in New York. It is a different media frenzy, especially with the tradition, the history, all the type of things that are involved with the Bears, and that's a part of it. And you've got to carry that and be able to handle all those things. And I think that did overwhelm Jay at first, but now, like most quarterbacks, when you've been through the ringer, so to speak, you become numb to it. You become mentally tougher. You're like Teflon coming out the other side. I think the perfect example of a quarterback that has kind of been through the school of hard knocks would be Alex Smith of Kansas City. He's kind of come out the other side. Remember how he was getting just trashed in San Francisco? And then finally, Jim Harbaugh comes in there. He actually led that team to an AFC championship game when you look at Alex Smith. Then he gets traded to Kansas City. And look what he's done in Kansas City. That kid is Teflon right now. And I think Jay's there. It's his time. I think he's very receptive to what Adam Gase is teaching him. And he's talented. The kid is too talented. And I think even he realizes that, you know, It's time for me to reach my potential. I think that's one thing players always get upset about is if they don't reach their potential, because Jay is capable of many great things, and hopefully those great things are here in the near future.
We'll wrap things up with Darren in Iowa. Darren, you're on Bears All Access with Thayer, Miller, and Zaidman.
Hey, Darren.
Hey, guys. How is everything? I just want to know, how is Kristen Jones and Shea McCollum doing training camp and preseason?
That's a good question. Not as good as what I think they need to be in order to be a ferocious interior defensively. They are learning the position. There's a lot of details to the position mentally and physically that they have to become second nature to you. So you start playing, you know, in that type of tempo and that type of flow. And it's going to be interesting the way the coaches evaluate him, because I think Cincinnati did some good things against the interior linebacker position in last night's game, and that's going to be a really aggressive part of the decision-making process the coaches are going to have to go through. And it's about everybody playing better. You know, every position has to play better for the interior linebackers to play better.
Guys, we have to say goodbye, but before we do, again, if you're just tuning in, the Bears making some moves tonight. They've terminated the contract of veteran corner Tim Jennings. Ryan Mundy, the veteran safety, has been placed on injured reserve with a hip injury. Kevin White's going to go, as expected, on the reserve, physically unable to perform list to begin the season. John Chiles, who suffered a concussion yesterday in the game, has been waived injured. Daniel Thomas has had his contract terminated. The running back and the following players have been waived. Defensive back Malcolm Bronson, tight end Kevin Green, offensive tackle Cameron Jefferson, wide receiver Jeremy Kelly, cornerback Al Lewis Jean, long snapper Rick Lovato, Levi Norwood, a wide receiver, defensive end Olson Pierre, and Chris Pantelli, a tight end. So those are the moves the Bears have made tonight. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman saying so long. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.